Preparation for Hard Times, Part 3, Psalm 119, 14 to 64. We have begun the study of Psalm 119, and we spoke how this psalm was key to victorious living in the midst of trials and afflictions. The psalmist highlighted to us how his relationship with God that is based upon his word enabled him to go through the afflictions and trials of life. And this psalm, we said, is an acrostic psalm. Each of the 22 sections of 8 verses begins with succeeding letters of the Hebrew alphabet. What is the psalmist seeking to convey to us in this 176 verses, the longest psalm in the Psalter? The psalmist tells us of the blessedness of embracing God's word. He tells us that while you go through trial, do not forget to turn to God. And God is invisible. How do you turn to him? Well, you turn to him through his word. Through the promises of his word, you will receive strength, you will receive guidance, you will receive counseling, you will receive cleansing, and you will be established in the midst of difficult times. So he tells us that because God was with him, as he embraced the word of God in his life, he finds help. And the help that he receives is so wonderful. He described to us in this next section from verses 41 to 96. As he embraced God's word in his life, right, he focuses daily upon his relationship with God. And how can we cultivate our relationship with God? Well, we do so during the time of our quiet meditation of his word, daily. And we encourage our brethren to take time to establish a godly perspective of life through the quiet imbibing of God's will in the quiet study of his word. And you'll find that life, as the psalmist would describe to us, is fraught with so many difficulties. He speaks of persecutions. He speaks of afflictions. We said that, you know, he is in tears so often throughout the psalm. So we notice that life, the life of God's people, is not merely, we said, a bed of roses. Right? You see that life brings with it its trials, its temptations. And the psalmist tells us that while we go through the vicissitudes of life, we can approach life by faith in his word. And he tells us that as he walk in obedience to God and his laws and his commandments, he discovered that the laws of God are what he would describe as very broad. It gives him the leeway, the freedom to live his life. You know, have you met someone who would tell you that I became a Christian, but life is so tough being a Christian because there are so many laws I have to follow? And they seem to be binding me like fetters, chain me all over, as if I couldn't move. Well, that is a misrepresentation of God's law. You find that as you embrace the word, embrace the law of God in your life, God is going to open for you a breath and a depth in your life that you can never experience. Taking hold of God's law in your life, the life of holiness, is a beautiful life. And God wants you to experience. And the psalmist tells us that he has experienced it. You see, you would notice from Psalm, from verse 41 to 48, there are several, each verse begins with a particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So from verses 41 to 48, there is a particular Hebrew alphabet that is used. And I've highlighted for you these various words that are placed right in the front of each of the sentence. Right? In our English language, you would see that it comes right in the middle of a sentence, and you see that from verses 41 to 48, there are many verbs which are highlighted here. Now, there is a flow, there is a message that is being conveyed to us that we want to know. We hope to be able to see what the psalmist wants to tell us. And you would find that in the original language, you can place a word at the beginning of the sentence, whether it's a verb, whether it's a noun, whether it's an object, or whether it's a subject or an object, it is to show emphasis. And so these words are emphasized by the psalmist as we think about how God, you know, delivers him through the trials, through the temptations of life. Right? The first word in verse 41 is come. Let thy mercies come also upon me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. When we ask God to make a way for us, where we deserve punishment, God pardons. You see here, the psalmist tells us that there is a way out. There is a way back with God. Right? Just like the prodigal son who went away with the father's fortune and wantonly wasted all of it. And when he had nothing left, he was destitute and in need and in great trouble. How God make a way for him. How God helped him. Right? So here the psalmist says that as he come to God and he seek God in prayer for his mercy, God never fail to show mercy. That's why, you know, in many parts of the Psalms, the psalmist would praise God to say, the mercy of God endureth forever. Through every life situation, you can call upon God for his help, and the Lord is there for you. So verse 42 says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. So the next word is answer. When you come to God asking for mercy, what do you receive? You receive your answer from God. And it boosts your faith. Right? It costs you to know that, you know, you are not living alone in this world. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Now, this next word is not a verb, but a negation. the word not. And he tells us that during the time of trial, it is easy for us to take the easy way out. It's easy for us to find, you know, the way, the least pain way out, in the sense that, you know, we can, right? We can think. But as you look at the laws of God, as you look at the will of God, you'll find that God, you know, God's will says no, a different way. Right? Later on, we would speak about some examples. But here, you see how the psalmist sought that he would, right, not cast aside the laws of God. He is willing to wait for God for his mercy. And he receives answer. Right? And he tells the Lord, help me not to take thy word out utterly out of my mouth. That means he's asking God to help him not to disregard the word of God, but to continue to hope and to trust and to obey and to follow. So verse 44 says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. So you see the kind of resolve in the heart of the psalmist. There is a kind of a strength within him, right, to always come back to God again and again and again. And this is the work of the Spirit of God that is in the lives of the believer. Right? The believer is able to, you know, find strength, right, to continually come back to God, continually hope in Him, continually trust in Him. And he says, and I will walk, that's the next word there. And this word there is what we said, reflexive. I will walk myself at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. He says that I myself will walk, right, in the freedom of thy law. He doesn't think that the laws of God is binding to him. Binding as in, you know, cost him, you know, to have less options to choose to live his life. Right? The Lord tells us, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. He takes these laws seriously. And he says that I will seek to keep it. And I myself will walk in it. And I will speak of thy testimonies. Now, the next thing is this. Before we walk, we have nothing to talk. Right? But after we have walked, we realize that, you know, we have something to talk about, because we experience the goodness of God. We experience the mercy of God answering our prayer. We experience the presence of God helping us. Right? So he says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. He says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. So he says that when he walked with God, when he chose to imbibe the life of God in him, well, he finds a way back. Right? And he says that, and I, as I walk, I am also able to speak, testify. It's interesting that the psalmist tells us that God brought him before kings, important people, right? People who, by their word, by their decision, affects many. Right? So he says that I was able to be a testimony, meaning he's saying that, you know, God caused me to have a certain credibility before men because of the laws which I profess. God brought me before these people that I can be a testimony of thy goodness, of thy faithfulness, of who you are. Right, so he says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So he says, I will lift up my hands. I will lift up my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. What he's saying is that he is willing, right? He's willing to follow, he's willing to love, he's willing to stick his claim with God. When we understand the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, we know that he's here to judge the world. But for the believers, we know that when he comes again, when he returns, he's here to bring rewards to his faithful servants. And that's such a wonderful promise, right? And we live our life in the light of his coming again. We know that, you know, the Lord will receive us as we seek to serve him, as we seek to live a holy life for the Lord. We are willing, right, to live as a pilgrim. Okay. We will not stick our claim with the world. Remember Lot. Right? Lot stick his claim with the world. And he lost, what we said, big time. Okay. And we are living in those days. And the Lord tells us, knowing this first, 2 Peter 3, that there shall come in the last days, and we are living in those days. In fact, in the closing of those last days, right? The last days begin from the time Christ ascended to the time that he will return. And it's more than 2,000 years since he has ascended. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So while the Lord tarries, what do we do? While the Lord tarries, while he shows his patience, his long-suffering, there is time for us. Time for us, as we look around us, for men and women who would perish, to be saved, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the Lord tells us about a future judgment, a future event. And it's for us to take it seriously. And throughout the generations of Christians, since the Lord's ascension, all who have taken this message seriously live their life in the light of his coming again. And you'll find that, you know, their life change, different. They are there doing the work of the gospel. They are there living a holy life for the Lord. They are there impacting the world for Christ. The Lord delivers, the Lord comforts, verse 49 to 56. And it's interesting that here is described the psalmist during the time of deepest affliction. How he receives hope and comfort from God's promises. God's word keeps his soul alive. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we commit our troubles to our Heavenly Father in prayer, we receive from him peace and faith that removes all fears. Such comfort encourages us to go on trusting him amidst dark circumstances, even horror, as you know, the psalmist tells us, and I've highlighted for you again the important words, right? And what is the word that is repeated three times there? Remember, right? Remember the word. Remember the judgments of God. Remember the name of God, he tells us. Verse 49, 52, 55. And then he tells us this. He uses the word this twice, right? Emphasizing. He says in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. What is that? The word of God. He was able to find spiritual strength in the word. And that is the secret of success. Right? When Moses departed, he gave to Joshua the word that was recorded, the first five books, and how he was asked to meditate upon it, that his life may prosper. And we see how Joshua was obedient to the counsel of his mentor, and God blessed him in the conquest of the land. And so here you see this and this. This I had, he said. This is my comfort in my affliction. He says, when I have no one else to turn to, I can turn to God. I can look at the promises of God, what he did of old for the saints. This is the same that he would do for me. And these promises are still available for us. And therefore, he finds great comfort in his heart. Right? The psalmist speaks with hindsight of an experienced faith, right? A tested faith to encourage us that even when everything seems at its bleakest, the believer can, like the psalmist, continue to hope in God. And that's not something that is impossible. And he relates how, and one of the words that he wanted to emphasize is the word songs. He says in verse 54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." He says, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night." Night is a description of those difficult times, darkest hours in life. They are how the promises of God are able to comfort his aching heart. There is a chorus that we sing often, only Jesus, which has comforted many hearts. The chorus goes like that. Only Jesus, only He